We get things underway this afternoon by welcoming back to the show a terrific sports writer with the Kennebec Journal, the Morning Sentinel, a man who set the world on fire in this year's Downtown Madness, shocked his peers around the state of Maine, and with good reason. And we love his work. Travis Lazarchik joining us. Hello, Travis.
Good afternoon, Rich. How are you?
Great. Good to have you back with us again.
I'm happy to be here. I got to make sure that this season wasn't a fluke and I make a deep run again next year.
Oh, I have no question about that. Before we talk about where we are, want to talk about a big recent story in the world of high school sports, and that's the retirement of longtime and legendary Winslow football coach Mike Savisky.
Yeah, Mike was at Winslow for 35 years, won a lot of games, more than 250, won 7 gold balls, took his team to, I think, 11 state championship games. So it's kind of weird. Winslow's only had 3 head coaches since 1958, Mike and then Harold Tank Violet before him, and Wally LaFountain before him. So it's going to be different seeing a different face, or in this case, 2 different faces, because they named assistant coaches Wes Littlefield and Pete Bolduc the co-interim head coaches on the sidelines this year, if we do have it this year.
Yeah, and that's the big question everybody is asking. Will there be high school athletics this fall? If so, what will it look like? And we thought we might get some news today when the MPA's Interscholastic Management Committee met, but no resolution. And part of that, as I understand it, Travis, and you can explain it much more clearly than me, is that the MPA is looking for some guidance from the state over 2 conflicting plans.
Yeah, my colleague at the Press Herald, Mike Lowe, has a good story that we have up on our website right now where Mike Burnham, speaking on behalf of the MPA, basically they're like, the state CDC guidelines for recreation sports and things that have been allowing youth sports and things to go on all summer and by all accounts quite well with no big issues say one thing in terms of social distancing and everything that's been working. And then the Department of Education's plan regarding physical education classes and returning to the classroom says something else. So they're just looking to kind of narrow their scope and say, which one should we follow? Now, whether that, you know, comes from the governor, Dr. Shaw, who knows? It's going to come down soon, though, because they've got to start planning if they are going to have a season.
And that physical education plan, I've seen comments on social media from a lot of high school and middle school physical educators who have said, I have no idea how I can do my classes given those guidelines.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I don't know what you can do. I mean, you know, good luck to every teacher, not just phys ed teachers, everyone. It's going to be a challenge this fall, that's for sure.
Now, I'm a little bit biased because I work with him, but I thought my colleague at Brewer, David Utterback's plan, had a lot of merit to flip the seasons and modify things to at least try and guarantee some sports in the fall. How come that didn't get any more traction with the MPA?
Yeah, I wish I knew, Rich. It just feels like maybe they just really don't feel like putting in the work or, you know, doing what it would take to flip-flop things. I know in other states they've turned down flip-flopping things because they're worried about kind of what we're seeing in a lot of places where, all right, if we put the spring sports in the fall and then we can't do the fall, we're kind of taking away 2 seasons from spring athletes. So, and that's a valid argument, but it would be a lot of work, I know that.
So ultimately, who will make this decision going forward?
It sounds like it's going to be a group effort between the governor's office and the CDC and the DOE with input from the MPA. We've kind of figured all along that the MPA is going to have to take their orders from someone higher up. Really, when it comes down to it, as far as high school sports, they kind of organize rules and tournaments and things, but the DOE kind of oversees everything else. So if they're told, yeah, go ahead, I think we will have something. It's not going to look like anything people are used to, I don't think.
And football is the one that garners a lot of interest. Massachusetts not playing football this fall in high schools. Vermont is playing, I think it's 7-on-7 flag football. It would seem, yeah, of everything, football would be the most high-risk sport. How would you say the chances are of us seeing any kind of high school football?
I think football is probably the one. If you're going to pick one or 2 sports that are, you know, either pushed aside or outright canceled this year, I think football is the one. I mean, talking to coaches and ADs since really the spring, kids huddle up, they breathe on each other. Kids line up on the line of scrimmage, they're, you know, breathing on each other. There's no getting around the contact. There's absolutely no way to play football in social distance. And we saw last week in Foxcroft Academy, it does not take much to have a mini outbreak or even a bigger outbreak, you know, like we saw at the wedding in Millinocket just last week. So football is probably the one. If the FPA has to scrap one, I think it would be that.
And, of course, the other issue, too, it's not just the players. It's the fact that they're likely to come, well, they will come in contact with people from other schools, but also that with most schools in Maine opening the year with some sort of hybrid system to cut down on the number of contacts, then we're going to have all of these athletes in their various sports practice together and play people from other schools. And then the risk is bringing essentially whoever they come in contact with and their families and their contacts back into their school settings, where it can then go to teachers, school employees, and back home to parents and grandparents.
Exactly. We haven't even discussed travel considerations. If you're only allowed a certain amount of kids on a yellow school bus, and say you've got a traveling party of 50 for a football team, you're talking at two, maybe three buses, and maybe some schools might not have that. They might not have that capability. When you're looking at finding drivers and paying overtime or whatever it takes to get a bus on a typical Friday night, now everything is just magnified.
We're talking with Travis Lazarchuk here on Downtown. Of course, the issue, too, that separates high schoolers from collegiate athletes is we don't have the money or the resources to be able to do any kind of testing other than, you know, basic, how do you feel? You look okay to me. I think you can play. What's your temperature? Great. But that doesn't, of course, do anything with kids who are asymptomatic.
No, I mean, it would be in a perfect world to be able to test every student, regardless of, you know, whether they're an athlete or if they're in the chess club, band, you know, drama, whatever. But we know that's just probably not feasible in Maine. So we got to kind of do the best with the, I don't know what else to call it, but the honor system. How do you feel?
I've seen a number of coaches and some athletic directors make this comment, and I think they're absolutely right that there will be sports this fall. They may just not be school sports. And if anything, when you head out to the world of travel sports, and particularly some travel sports that are for profit, the standards for health and safety decrease, and it could create, you could make the argument for, an even more unsafe situation.
Yeah, you could make the argument. I do take some solace in the fact that it seems like throughout the summer, particularly in Maine, we've had youth baseball, soccer, everything, and we haven't seen an outbreak. So that's encouraging. That doesn't mean we wouldn't. You know, what's the old saying? Past performance isn't indicative of future. So we've been good, or lucky, whatever you want to call it, so far. I agree. I think we'll see something, whether it's intramurals, where maybe, all right, we play schools within a 20-mile radius of us, but not MPA, or maybe the MPA will say, hey, go play regionals, but we're not sponsoring tournaments this year. I think that's an option that might be considered.
And most sports fans don't even want to think about this, and I don't blame them, but we're talking about fall when everybody's outside, but it won't be that long. We're talking 3 months when indoor sports in the winter season is supposed to get underway, and I don't see much changing between now and then.
No, unless all of a sudden we have a vaccine that works, and I don't think that's on the horizon until at least early 2021. Vermont's already said that volleyball is going to be played outside, so they're going to be playing volleyball in parking lots instead of gymnasiums, or on grass courts, wherever they can find space that they can play volleyball, I suppose. But that's a consideration that Maine volleyball teams will have to take into account as well.
Interesting times, to say the least. Well, Travis, we appreciate your great work and your colleagues as well for keeping us on top of the situation. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, and good luck covering a most unusual sports season ahead.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate your time, too.
All right, we'll talk with you soon. Travis Lazarchuk with us here on Downtown.